In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett.
One of the ways of conceiving of Wotico, it's an autoimmune disease of the soul, where the immune system, you know, in an autoimmune disease, the immune system that's supposed to protect the body actually turns on the very body it's part of, and it attacks it. And we are not separate from each other. We're interconnected and interdependent. And remember, Wotico is an inner disease of the soul that explicates itself via the medium of the outside world. And think about all throughout the history of our species, we have been at war, and we are just killing each other, and we're destroying the biosphere, the life support system of the planet. That's, in other words, an expression of Wotico all throughout history, just different iteration, where we're actually turning on ourselves via the form of others, which is reflecting how we're actually, you know, our creative energy, instead of being expressed constructively, is actually getting turned against us and becoming poison.
If you enjoy Conspiracy Unlimited, why not become a Conspiracy Unlimited Plus member? For just $1.99 per month, you'll gain access to 2 bonus, exclusive, commercial-free episodes per month, plus access to my back catalog of episodes. To subscribe, just go to conspiracyunlimitedpodcast.com and click on Gain Access to Premium Episodes. Again, go to conspiracyunlimitedpodcast.com and click on Get Access to Premium Episodes, or click on the link in the episode notes. Conspiracy Unlimited Plus, for less than $2 per month. Why not sign up today?
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett. Pursuing the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from his studio beneath the stairs. Richard Serrett.
This is Ali Sieratan sitting in for Richard Serrett. Richard is under the weather tonight. He's by a nice, hot, warm, cozy fireplace with a hot cup of tea, listening to the show. He's an audience member. I have the pleasure of welcoming Paul Levy to the show, and I'm very, very intrigued by his thinking and look forward to opening it up for you. The pandemic, we're going to be turning our attention to the pandemic and to the mind virus. We've all heard for the past 2 years of this virus, but what about this idea of the mind virus? How much of this whole thing is in our heads, folks? Help me welcome Paul Levy, author. He's going to be opening this up for us right now. Are you there, Paul?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, good to have you. Wetiko, Healing the Mind Virus That Plagues Our World, a Sacred Plant Book. So tell me, what is Wetiko? What does that stand for, this term?
Sure. So, you know, and that's one way of saying it. I call it Wetiko, and it's a mind virus whose origin is in the Native American tradition in the Algonquin language, really. And it's a psycho-spiritual disease of the soul that's afflicting humanity. And this isn't just my, you know, crazy idea or a theory. Every single spiritual tradition from time immemorial has been pointing at Wetiko. They've just been calling it by different names and having different symbols. And it works through the blind spot of, you know, our mind. And it's a form of being blind. It's a psychic blindness, but it's a peculiar form of blindness that actually thinks it's seeing, and it actually thinks it's more sighted than people who actually see, and it works through the projective tendencies of the mind in such a way that we entrance ourselves, in that we hypnotize ourselves. So it has, you know, this virus, this mind virus, it's the real deadly virus that's afflicting our species, and we all have it in potential. It feeds off of fear, feeds off of separation, and it works through the projective tendencies of the mind in such a way that, you see, it has no creativity, but it plugs into our creativity. To the extent we're not in touch with our creative nature, this mind virus plugs into our creativity and turns it against us. And in the Bible, in the apocryphal text, they talk about it. It's called the counterfeiting spirit. It got written out of the Bible because I point out that Wetiko was on the editorial board. You see, it can't stand to be exposed. When we see it, we take away its power and we empower ourselves. So it's this shape-shifting bug, and what it does by being a counterfeiting spirit, it impersonates us. It puts us on, and if we're not awake in that moment, it'll offer us a false version of ourselves. Oh, I'm wounded, I'm limited, I'm traumatized. And if we identify with its version of ourselves, then it has us. Because then it can both, it can control us and manipulate us. And what I'm describing, you see, it has no power over us when we're in touch with our true nature. So what I'm describing, there are three aspects to it. You know, we give ourselves away, we identify with who we're not, and we then forget our creative agency. That's a recipe for madness. And that's Wetiko in a nutshell, because Wetiko is a collective psychosis.
Fascinating, fascinating, folks. If you want to, you know, learn more about this book, you can buy it on Amazon. It's by Paul Levy, Wetiko, The Healing the Mind Virus That Plagues Our World. So your book is three parts, and I want to kind of dig into each section. And we don't have time to open up every chapter, but just to kind of have an overview of your thinking. And this pandemic, as you're suggesting, definitely has tapped into fear. There's been so much fear going around the world since the first images came from China on television of people with masks going around spraying gas into neighborhoods, of grabbing people and putting them in cars and taking them away. I mean, it just seems so scary. And from there, it's just been a more and more fear coming. So are you suggesting that a lot of this is in our psyche?
What I'm saying...
What about the reality of it? Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying it's not... I mean, that's absurd to say it's not real. It's as real as we are. It's what's happening, you know, and whether you call that real or not, I mean, whatever. That's why I say it's as real as we are. What I mean is that the origin of this process, so the source of all of our problems, the madness that we're playing out, the evil that's taking over our world and that's enacting itself, that the source of all of that and the solution is to be found one place and one place only, and that's within our psyches. And what Wetiko does, Wetiko, it's a mind virus, and so it will distract us in such a way that we then think the problem is outside of ourselves. And we try to find solutions outside of ourselves. And all the while, it feeds off of our unconsciousness. Whereas the you know, like I'm saying, people who think, oh, I'm saying something so crazy and so far out, well, it's actually so obvious that the source of the collective madness is to be found within our psyche. I mean, I can't imagine something that's more undeniable than that. So that, in essence, is what I'm saying.
Now, you talk about the Kabbalah's remarkable idea. Tell me about that. How does the Kabbalah fit in your thinking?
Yeah, well, you know, like I was saying, every spiritual tradition from time immemorial has been pointing at Wetiko. And when I finished my first book on Wetiko, Dispelling Wetiko, I began to study the Kabbalah, and it blew my mind when I realized, oh my God, they're creatively pointing at Wetiko, but just in a really interesting way. And they're pointing at that within the very darkness is to be found the true light. And that, you know, the seeming evil is actually holding the light captive. And they have a whole cosmology explaining that, but that the darkness ultimately has no reality. That it's like a parasite. It doesn't even exist. And yet, you know, this phantom that has no actual existence, you know, because Wetiko, just I should point out, it has no independent existence. It's not like people hearing about it should be afraid, oh no, there's a mind virus and I should be afraid. No, that's Wetiko, if we buy into the fear. It doesn't even exist. It has no reality whatsoever, just like the Kabbalah points at, and yet it can kill our species. Okay? That's pointing at the incredible untapped power that we have, each one of us. We have this incredible creative agency, but the extent that we're not awake to it, then this Wetiko bug, or the Kabbalah, they have their own language for it, it parasitically feeds in, and it's like a vampire that drains our life force, and it will use our own creative energy against us.
And so, as this mind virus attacks the psyche of the human race, how do we recognize that this is happening to us? So if I'm a person out there and now I'm wondering, I'm examining my thinking as you're speaking, I'm examining my thought processes in my life, and I'm thinking, wait, am I being affected by Wetiko? How does a person, first of all, recognize that they are being affected by this mind virus?
Yeah, well, I would say, you know, one very easy way is to just consider, oh, well, am I, you know, have I achieved my real potential? Am I evolving, you know, as a human being, you know, into my fullness, into my wholeness? Am I really connected with my creativity, and am I expressing myself in a creative way, you know, throughout my day? And if you're not, well, then the question is, like, well, what's stopping you? Because the point is, it's not just that our species has fallen asleep. No, it's more than that. It's as if there's this malevolent energy that's invested in keeping us asleep. So for people to really self-reflect and ask them, well, am I attaining my full potential? Am I evolving? Am I creatively expressing myself? And if you're not, what's stopping you? Then you're on the trail of Wetiko.
Fascinating. And so you're saying that somehow creativity and living to your full potential, these are things that are hindered by this mind virus. It kind of reminds me of this a concept of an evil spirit nearly. Plagues people.
In the psyche, the greatest poison in the human psyche is, you know, unexpressed creativity. And so I point out that one of the real medicines for this mind virus is to get in touch with our creativity. And I'm not just talking about, doing painting or drawing, or I'm talking about that every moment of our lives, we are literally creating our experience. There's no one else doing that. We're creating our experience of ourselves, and we're creating our experience moment by moment of the world. But to the extent we're not in touch with our creative agency, then all of a sudden, it gets turned against us, and we feel, sort of depressed or repressed or anxious or fearful, and all of those energies, they're food for Watiko.
And we live in a very machine-like world. We're often employees of factories, essentially, of corporations that, invite us into a routine. And that kind of stifles this creativity as well. We don't. So you're talking very much about a mindset, essentially, then.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's interesting. When we are afflicted, and we all potentially have Watiko, it exists in the collective unconscious, but when we actually become afflicted, we become like a zombie, like a robot, like an automaton with no creativity, programmed in. And we sort of, with the transhumanism thing and the AI thing and the whole tech thing, we see that happening more and more in the world. You see, the thing about Watiko, it's an inner disease of the soul that has a magical ability to extend itself out into the world and configure outer events so as to reflect the inner state of a psyche that's under its thrall. Now, what I just described, where the outer world is actually reflecting the inner condition of one's mind, that is exactly a description of a dream. You see, so Watiko is the dreamed-up phenomena that we are collectively dreaming up the psychic epidemic together. The origin is within us, but it's actually revealing to us the dreamlike nature. This is a collectively shared dream. And that's what Watiko actually can show us. So encoded within the evil of Watiko, it's actually helping us. It's helping us to wake up, to wake up to our situation, to wake up to the dreamlike nature, and to wake up to who we actually are and our creative power.
Now, that's fascinating. And if someone wanted to really tap into this fear on purpose, then they would have a lot of power in manipulating society.
Totally. Well, the thing is, as soon as we get isolated and we identify, you see, because the thing about Watiko, it offers us this identity, a fictitious identity that's not who we are. Who we are is interconnected and interdependent with each other. There's no separate self that exists in isolation to be found anywhere. But if we identify with a separate self, then all of a sudden, if I'm a separate self over here, well, then there's others who are not me. And then as soon as there's others, there's fear. And as soon as there's fear, well, that's the superfood for Watiko. So, the thing about Watiko, it literally will create the polarization, the extreme polarization we see in the world, and then it'll create this fear and this otherization, and then it just reinforces, it just feeds off of that polarization and that fear.
It's a spiral downwards at that point. You say that the COVID-19 is a symbol of a much deeper infection. What is this deeper infection?
Yeah. Well, I'm saying that, COVID-19 is actually what's happening since in the pandemic is Watiko. If you think what I'm saying is some weird thing, just open your eyes and look. What's playing out in the world? You see, if people think that COVID is a physical virus, is solely a physical virus, they are mistaken. No. Take a look at how this alleged virus has come into our world and into our mind and affected every aspect of our life. It's affected politics and the economics and what we think about, what we dream about, what we talk about, what we wear, how we interact. It affects every single aspect of our lives. So this COVID virus actually has multiple vectors, like multiple sort of bodies. It has a physical, you know, aspect, but then it has this mind aspect or a behavioral aspect or a psychological aspect or an emotional aspect or a spiritual aspect. It's multidimensional. And when you begin to see that, you begin to realize, wait, all of those behaviors and all of the things I just listed, they all mediated through the psyche. And the psyche is the arena of Watiko. So in other words, Watiko actually flavors our perceptions and it skews our interpretations, that we how we interpret the ink blot of the waking world, and it actually distorts the meaning that we impute to events in such a way to create fear and to create polarization and then to feed the mind virus. And so what I'm pointing out is that the COVID pandemic is revealing that to us. It's actually, you see, the thing about Watiko, it only has power over us to the extent we don't see it. Okay? When we see it, we take away its power and we empower ourselves. COVID and the pandemic is a way of actually, it's a revelation of the Watiko mind virus, which is the real virus. That's the deadly virus that's afflicting our species, not COVID.
You talk about René Girard, the French philosopher, and his take on scapegoating in the shadow. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Well, one very simple way of understanding, like, you know, when people, like, scapegoat, when they project the shadow, that's the psychological dynamic. That's the engine of Watiko. And what I mean, you know, if I'm not in touch with my own darkness, with my own shadow, well, what's going to happen? I'm going to project it outside of me. And, you know, just one way to understand this is if you're in a dream, if you project out your shadow in a dream, well, the dream then will reflect that back because it's nothing other than a reflection of your mind. And into the dream will walk somebody or a group of people who will carry your own darkness. And once that happens, now you have proof, you have evidence that the evil in the shadow is outside of yourself. So you get even more convinced of your own light and your own just being right. And then as soon as you become even more fixed in that viewpoint of seeing the darkness outside of yourself, the waking dream or the night dream, they just reflect that back. They give you evidence confirming your viewpoint because, you know, what a dream is nothing other than your reflection. And I'm pointing out that we're in a dream right now. This is a waking collective dream. And the more you become, as you see the darkness more and more outside of yourself, the more eventually you want to destroy it, which is an externalization of the initial process of wanting to destroy and exterminate your own shadow. So your inner process is getting acted out in the world to destroy the carriers of your own darkness, and by doing, become possessed by the very evil that you're trying to destroy. That's Watiko.
I see. And so this idea that the darkness hides in the light is kind of what you're describing, and that it's here, it's in plain sight, but it's hidden because it appears. Tell me about that. What do you mean by the darkness hides
in
the light?
Like an example, if somebody, you know, thinks, oh no, I'm just a good person and I'm just, you know, a loving person, and they're not in touch with their shadow, they can be overly identified with the light. But, well, you know, I can talk for myself. When I meet somebody like that, I run the other way because they're dangerous, because they're not conscious of their own potential for darkness. So if they're overly identified with the light, they're going to be unconsciously seeing the evil outside of themselves. You know, they're going to be scapegoating or projecting the shadow. And that is the activity of the shadow, but they're unconscious of it. That's what makes them dangerous. So here they are appearing to be all light, and yet, at their core, they're actually a vector for darkness.
Fascinating. And so this infection of the mind, this Watiko, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it well.
Okay.
Watiko, is that how you're pronouncing it? Watiko?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah.
Watiko, this infection of the mind that's, you know, collective and among us all, it also has taken hold of government officials, it seems, all around the world to different extents. And I want to talk about kind of how is it that as a society we can move past it if those who control the means of communication continue to be in it. How is it that we as a people, as individuals, can move beyond this fear caused by the mind virus when government officials, World Health Organization, the local governments of nations, the huge difference that exists between, let's say, the Chinese government and the way they're handling the pandemic and the way we are in the West, and the media that is the loudspeaker that tells us every 2 seconds, all the bad news. I guess that's, they say bad news is sells papers. How can we get past this fear when constantly, you know, children go to school with masks on their face, they look at each other, look at their teacher? How can we get past this fear when it's, we're constantly reminded of it?
Yeah, no, totally. Well, I mean, there's this mind control. This is, you know, in a way, the greatest psyops in the history of the world. And, so I guess the real answer to your question is to be in touch with your true self. Because then, when you're in touch with your true self, you don't just take on other people's ideas or other people's image of what's happening. You become an empiricist. You really explore your own experience and investigate for yourself. But so many people are not used to doing that, and they just drink the Kool-Aid and take in the mainstream propaganda, you know, and become, you know, like sheeple or a lot of different names for it. And then, you know, they just become part of the hive mind. And so a major part of it is to actually think for yourself. And, you know, I mean, it's exactly like I'm a Buddhist practitioner. When the Buddha was teaching, he kept on saying to his students, please don't take my word for it. Do the experiment yourself. And the experiment was to look within your own mind. And, you know, so if we actually investigate the source of our experience, you know, both the good and the bad parts of our experience, you know, we're going to discover something about ourselves and about our incredible creative power, and that we're colluding with the mind virus. This mind virus, which is like a vampire, it has no power over us whatsoever unless we give our power away. It can't steal our soul or anything like that, but it tricks us into giving it away. You know, so that's what I'm pointing at, is seeing how we're colluding with it.
That makes sense to me, in the sense that we, with our own minds, empower the fears that come over us. Now, when it, do you believe that there is a mind, a nefarious mind behind this virus? Is this a naturally occurring phenomenon that is in your thinking is teaching us something about ourselves, or should we look at this from a conspirational point of view? Was this released on purpose, essentially? That's really what I'm asking, I think.
So wait, so you're talking about the actual, like, Watiko mind virus? Yeah. Right, the thing is, there are all these theories. I mean, because like I'm saying, this isn't anything new. I'm just a translator. I'm just a person trying to translate this indigenous wisdom into a modern psychological idiom. And so, you know, there are all these theories about, oh, there was a collective trauma in our species, or there were like these negative ETs, and you know, who, I can't say one way or the other, but what I can say is that the actual genesis of the mind virus is in this moment, or not. We, in other words, are dreaming up Watiko. We are participating in its creation if we choose to stay unconscious. So the point is that the actual, like, the origin of the virus is right now, you know, in potential. And the thing I'm pointing out because Watiko only has power over us to the extent it's not seen. You see, it's an inner virus of the soul that actually explicates itself and works itself and configures events in the world. So to begin to see how it's informing and giving shape to events in our world that are reflecting the state of the psyche that's under its thrall, and that it's actually informing our unconscious reactions to its appearance in the world, to begin to see that correlation between the inner and the outer, that's to see the dream, and that's to dispel Watiko.
I see what you're saying. I think I'm following your train of thought. When I think about the Buddhist approach to things, this idea of sitting in meditation, I believe the story of the Buddha was that, you know, he looked far and wide for this elusive enlightenment, and when he could find it and he finally sat down, a series of illusions of Maya came over him. And as his mind was able to dismiss each of the illusions that came over him, the fears that came over him, the pride that came over him, he eventually transcended into his mental state to a place, nirvana, whatever that is. And there, you know, he saw reality for what it was. And so he became, you know, this awakened teacher and to lead others. The thing with that kind of a thinking, is this really a solution that can be offered to the masses of humanity? When I look at our culture, I mean, if you were in an Eastern culture where these things were more ingrained in the fabric of the history of the culture, but here in the West where we live, are we to invite the masses into meditation, into awareness? How can we make people aware of the thinking that you're bringing to us tonight?
Yeah, well, the thing is, I mean, you know, it's not enough just to do meditation, because meanwhile, the world is burning. And, you know, I point out in my work that we have to sort of cross-pollinate being, you know, a spiritual person and being a political activist, that our inner process is literally getting enacted via the outer world. And that's to say that the way to work on our inner process is to fully participate in life, in what's happening. And, you know, one of the things I point out that the Watiko epidemic, because it's a, you know, it's a psychic epidemic, it's a collective psychosis, it's revealing to us, it's a revelation, it's revealing to us the profound importance of the human psyche in creating our experience, you know? And because, like, one way to think about it, if I have a dream, and in the dream I'm, like, helpless, and I'm not in touch with my creative agency, and the seemingly external powers are, like, you know, having all this power over me, and if somebody came into my office and told me that dream, I would say, well, clearly you're not in touch with your creative power because you've disassociated from it. It's gotten projected out and picked up and turned against you. And what I'm saying is, when you see that this is the dream and you interpret what's happening as such, where so many people feel helpless and hopeless and filled with despair, what that's reflecting is that we as a species and as individuals are not in touch with our intrinsic creative genius. And that's why the world is reflecting it back. And so Watiko, it's quantum phenomena that it contains in a superposition of states both the deepest evil and the most incredible gift and blessing. It's helping us to realize who we are. It's showing us the dreamlike nature, and it's unlocking our creative genius. But if we don't recognize what it's revealing to us, then we're fated to continue to destroy ourselves.
And is this what you mean by that the coronavirus contains its own vaccine?
Yeah, totally. That, you know, encoded, like, and this is in the Kabbalah, encoded hidden within the evil is the real, is the true light, you know? Mm. And so what I'm pointing out, you know, because it maps on to the coronavirus pandemic, but, you know, we're talking about the mind virus, is that it's the source of the most unbelievable evil that our species plays out, you know, with each other. And yet, secretly hidden, encoded within the very virus, within the evil, is its own vaccine. And it's not just giving us its own medicine, it's literally helping us to wake up. If Watiko, this mind virus, didn't exist, we'd have to invent it. You know, because it's sparking the evolution of our species. That's what I mean.
That's fascinating. So it's, you know, even though some people have perhaps, or nature or people have intended it for evil, yet it can be the source of good.
Oh, completely. But it all depends on if we recognize what it's revealing to us. That determines everything. And that's what I mean, that it's a very, just like in quantum physics, they realize the nature of light. Well, sometimes it manifests as a particle, sometimes as a wave, and it depends how we observe it. And the same thing with Watiko. That's what I keep on saying, that it's a quantum phenomena. You know, people who've gotten turned on to Watiko, like, for example, in the Castaneda books, you know, they didn't have the name Watiko, but they were completely pointing at Watiko, you know, Carlos's teacher. And he was saying, this is the topic of topics. There is nothing more important in the world to understand today than the Watiko mind virus. It doesn't have to, you know, you can call it whatever name you want. It doesn't have to be called Watiko. But if we don't see it, and if we don't recognize what it's showing us about ourselves, it's actually offering us exactly what we need to know to wake up. But if we don't recognize that, then we're fated. We're going to continue as if programmed to destroy ourselves.
So just to have some context, we're going to go on a break in a second, but I want you to tell me some historical references of this Watiko in the past, so we can contrast the present time with similar things that have happened in the past. Let's talk about the history when we come back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all enjoy a little mystery. Every other week, one strange thing presents forgotten stories from America's newspaper archives. They all have something in common, a single element that can't quite be explained. Join us on One Strange Thing, and you'll hear about a man who was literally stricken with genius. A 21st century child who remembered piloting a World War II bomber. A mysterious, unidentifiable blob in Texas. And then there was the lizard man stalking through small-town South Carolina. From cryptids and disappearances to modern-day miracles, One Strange Thing brings you stories that are very real and just a little otherworldly. Subscribe now, wherever you listen.
Overwhelmed by investing?
If you're anything like us, the hardest part is getting started. That's why we created the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Our goal is to help simplify money so it can work for you.
We invite guests to demystify investing.
At least try to be setting aside like the minimum 10% into the 401k.
We'll teach you the basics of the market.
Yeah, I think compound interest should be at the start of any discussion about investing. And
we've had investment professionals who teach in a simple way.
A valuation-driven bear market. You know, we haven't really seen yet, and I think everyone's thinking about it, but we haven't really seen yet.
Our Q&A episodes feature questions from listeners just like you.
So what do you think about the situation with ETBI, which is Activision?
I'm Dave Ahern.
And I'm Andrew Sather.
And we hope you join us on the Investing for Beginners podcast.
On the Investing for Beginners podcast.
It's time to try the tea everyone's talking about. Nothing does what Life Change Tea does. They have no competition. Life Change Tea helps support a healthy body. It tastes great and leaves you feeling refreshed every day. I can't get enough of my pomegranate super tea. I brew 2 gallons at a time and let it steep in the fridge overnight, enough to last me the entire week. And every morning I have a 16-ounce glass of this amazing GMO non-caffeinated herbal tea. It keeps me regular by providing a gentle cleanse every day. I'm never gassy or bloated, and good health begins with a healthy gut. This pomegranate super tea is not available in any store. You need to go to getthetea.com. Go to getthetea.com. Use the code UNLIMITED, and all your orders ship for free. All of them. It's time to get your tea from getthetea.com.
Theoretical physicists say that there's as many as 12 hyperdimensions. Here are just 3 of them. Conspiracy Unlimited. Conspiracy Unlimited. Conspiracy Unlimited. Pretty cool, huh? Here's an extra one. Conspiracy Unlimited. Hey, how about one more? Conspiracy Unlimited. And the great thing is we have 6 hyperdimensions left. Conspiracy Unlimited.
5.
Or something like that. I'll ask Richard later.
We're talking with Paul Levy about his very interesting idea of Wetiko, which is a mind virus. And tell me, Paul, has there been any examples of Wetiko throughout human history?
Yeah, well, I mean, I would say that that human history itself is evidence of Wetiko, because think about it. One of the ways of conceiving of Wetiko, it's an autoimmune disease of the soul where the immune system, you know, in an autoimmune disease, the immune system that's supposed to protect the body actually turns on the very body it's part of, and it attacks it. And we are not separate from each other. We're interconnected and interdependent. And remember, Wetiko is an inner disease of the soul that explicates itself via the medium of the outside world. And think about all throughout the history of our species, we have been at war, and we are just killing each other. And we're destroying the biosphere, the life support system of the planet. That's, in other words, an expression of Wetiko all throughout history, just different iteration, where we're actually turning on ourselves via the form of others, which is reflecting how we're actually, you know, our creative energy, instead of being expressed constructively, is actually getting turned against us and becoming poison and killing us. So, you know, the Bible will talk about Satan or the devil, or, you know, the Kabbalah, like I was saying, has its own articulation, or Hawaiian Kahuna talks about these entities called these mind parasites, or like Sridho talks about the hostile forces, or Philip K. Dick, you know, and I blew me away when I realized, oh my God, he's precisely describing Wetiko. He calls it the black iron prison. And as he's articulating this black iron prison, it's word for word what I write about in my books. You know, so the point is that creative artists throughout history, spiritual traditions that are based on wisdom, philosophers, thinkers, anybody who's awakened to, you know, their nature is pointing at Wetiko in their own language, in their own, with their own symbols.
Well, yes, that's true. Now, do you see an external agent, like, for instance, the concepts of, you know, the biblical idea of Satan and angels and all of that? The idea is that there are, you know, evil spirits, the human psyche, and there are actors on the stage of history in the cosmic tale other than man himself that also play these nefarious roles. In your thinking, are there other entities that activate this in our culture, or is it just a matter of the mind?
Right. No, I can answer that, because the thing about Wetiko, it's this archetypal, transpersonal, daimonic energy. And what that means is that that energy can literally take over a human being. It can possess people. And when it does that, the person so taken over is oblivious to the situation that they've been possessed by something other than themselves. And when that happens, that person who's taken over becomes a human instrument for something not human to come through, for something transpersonal that's beyond the personal, for something archetypal that's, you know, of a higher dimension to come through. And they have no idea. And not only one person can do that, but numbers of people can do that and get in phase with each other and reinforce each other's blindness and each other's madness. And that's what a collective psychosis is. And that's what we're in the middle of today. And Wetiko, if you remember, I mean, I've been saying it is a collective psychosis. And so, you know, like say for people who say, oh, if we just get the, you know, the billionaires and the Bill Gateses and the people who are at the top of the pyramid, you know, who are doing this, you know, all the evil and centralizing power and control and taking away our freedoms, then everything would be good. It was like, no. They themselves are just pawns in the hands of the archetype. We have to really connect with the deeper archetypal process, and that's happening inside of our psyche.
So how do we connect to these positive archetypes that are in our soul? What is the path to it?
Yeah, well, the path is it's very simple. It's to recognize what's happening. It's to open our eyes and look. Because the blindness, that Watiko is a psychic blindness, it's a self-induced blindness. You know, when we look away, when we could potentially see, that feeds Watiko. You know, so the real solution, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, if we see somebody under a spell and we try to preach the light to them, well, wait, who's the one who's asleep? It's us. Because, you know, their eyes are blind. It's to teach the art of seeing. But of course, how one does that, that's a whole other question.
So the four ignoble blindnesses of Watiko, what are these four blindnesses?
Yeah, the four ignoble blindnesses, it's a play on the Buddha's, you know, the noble truths, the four noble truths. So
yes.
I playfully created the four ignoble, you know, these blindnesses. And the first one is, for Watiko, it's that it's blind to its blindness. It doesn't know it's blind. The second one is that when we're afflicted with Watiko, we're blind to our shadow. We don't see our own darkness, but we project it outside and we see the evil outside of ourselves. That's the second ignoble blindness. The third is not only do we not see our darkness and our shadow, we don't see our light. And so we're unconscious of our light. And the fourth one is not recognizing that Watiko is this revelation. It's a living revelation. It's revealing to us exactly what we need to know in order to wake up. It's revealing to us who we are. It's revealing to us the dreamlike nature. And it's revealing to us our creative nature.
So I want to focus, as we're getting closer to the end of the program, as to what is the solution? What can we do concretely to get past this? And we touched on this, but I really want to leave people with this positive perspective.
Sure, totally.
Of the solution. So tell us about that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the thing is, you know, when we're in touch with our true nature, with who we really are, this mind virus, the Watiko mind virus, has no power over us at all. And the more we have the realization of our true nature, the more we realize that our true nature is, by its nature, creative. So the more we realize that, the more we just are creative. And the more we are creative and express ourselves creatively, the more we know our nature. It becomes a positive feedback loop that creates light upon light. And it unlocks the creative spirit within us, because we are made in the image of our creator. We are creative beings. And when any one person does that, you know, that will incredibly improve, you know, their life. But that's kind of insignificant. But when other people are also switched on to who they are and to the dreamlike nature and connecting with their creativity and really connecting with real compassion, because compassion is the expression of this realization. And when people see this synchronistic matrix that's informing, you know, all events in the world and within their minds, then all of a sudden you realize, oh my God, I can connect with other people who are also having this lucid awareness in our collectively shared dream. And it's exactly like in a night dream. When enough dreamers have lucidity in a night dream, they can come together and put their realization together and realize, oh my God, this collective dream we're in is manifesting in this limited, problematic way because we've been conditioned to dream it. It's just reflecting our own inner state. And in a dream, when enough dream characters in the dream realize that and come together, they literally can change the dream they're having. And that's our situation. We are being invited to consciously step into our own evolution and to participate in our own evolutionary process and to change the waking dream. You know, that's what all of this is about. But if we don't recognize that that's what this waking dream is revealing to us, well, then we're just going to continue to destroy ourselves.
Yeah, very interesting. So this creativity that you talked about, you know, as you're speaking, I try to imagine myself, you know, following in the footsteps of what you're inviting us to do. And the idea that we are made in the image of the Creator from the Torah, and that we are creative beings at the heart of our, at the essence of who we are. And you were saying before in the show that this doesn't mean that you start painting or writing poems, and not in that sense alone. I mean, that can be as well part of it. But tell me more about what do you mean by being creative throughout the day helps us unlock from the fear that grips us through the virus.
Sure. In other words, we begin to realize, like, this is being a dream, you know, being an inkblot, because a dream is a projection of the mind, it's an inkblot, that how we interpret this waking dream instantaneously gets reflected and, you know, informs the experience we have. Like, if we place a particular meaning on the dream will offer us evidence confirming our viewpoint, and it becomes a feedback loop. So just think about it. If you're in a night dream, and you hold a particular point of view in a night dream, and a night dream is just a reflection of your mind, you're holding a point of view. The dream will just offer you all the evidence confirming your viewpoint, because the dream is nothing than your mind, and now you have all the proof and the confirmation that your viewpoint is true, so you become even more fixed in that viewpoint. And then, of course, then the dream will just reflect back the particular viewpoint you're holding ad infinitum. And what that is, that becomes a self-reinforcing feedback loop in which you've hypnotized yourself. You see, that's an example of using our creative genius in a way that's killing us. That's what most of us are doing. So, of course, we're dreaming up the waking dream to reflect that back. That's the Watiko psychic epidemic. But it's a revelation. That's what I'm trying to point at. I feel like I should just get on rooftops and be screaming to people, like, wake up, something is being revealed to us through what's happening in the world. It's reflecting something inside of you.
I see. Yes, it's interesting, this idea that by profoundly changing our mindset as a result of this revelation that's coming through this pandemic, we can revolutionize our world and free ourselves from this fear. I mean, this leads us into action, getting in touch with the archetypes. From what I understand, you know, there is the hero, for instance, that's one of the archetypes. Is the archetype of the hero play a part in this awakening?
Yeah. Well, in other words, you know, in Tibetan Buddhism, one of the translations of hero is bodhisattva. And bodhisattva, it can translate as a real authentic hero or a being in the process of awakening. So we are being all called, you know, like a deeper calling, like a shaman, because we're all shamans in training. I mean, that's the major archetype that's activated in the collective psyche, is the wounded healer shamanic archetype. And we're being called, and the question is, do we have enough courage to actually follow our calling and speak our voice and connect with our inner guide and to become ourselves, you know, to individuate, to connect with our wholeness? And as we do that, any one of us does that energetically, that makes it easier for all of us to do it. And when we connect with other people who are doing it, you know, it becomes a contagion. It will go in a viral way and can actually inflame a whole global awakening.
And how about the use of psychedelics? Because that's becoming very much part of the culture, suddenly, I've noticed. Here in Canada, there's even laws that are changing that allow psychedelic therapy to start, and clinics are setting up. How do you feel about the use of psychedelics in this journey?
Yeah, I mean, psychedelics are incredible allies in medicine, and they can be unbelievably helpful if used in a really sacred way. You know, I mean, there's a shadow side, because people could use them too often or use them just to party or, you know, do one journey and they start facilitating for other people and all that. But they can be an unbelievable medicine to help people. You know, so many people who understand what I'm pointing at, you know, have been doing psychedelics, because it opens them up to the very point that I'm like trying to illumine.
Yes, absolutely. It's very interesting. I once had an experiment when I was 18 years old. I mean, that's a long time ago. But, you know, in high school with psilocybin, with mushrooms. And I had a vision that night, and I was in a cave, and there was a bright light. And it really kind of freaked me out. But then a voice spoke and said, "You are here to do the work of God." That's what the voice said. And I just put the cover over my head and went to bed thinking, what the hell was that? I mean, it was a fascinating moment. But I think with hindsight, it really affected my life. Well, Paul Levy, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight and really opening up this idea. I was meditating with you as you were leading us into this discussion of this mind virus, the idea that this is not just, and I'm so glad that somebody's really talking about this, that there's more to this than the actual virus that we hear about in the scientific culture where we live in, but that the psyche and the mind are in the grips of a fear, and that to let go of this by, first of all, not empowering it. It seems to me that's the first step, is don't empower it. And then get in touch, you're saying, with your creative nature, with your deeper essence, and from there receive revelation that's going to now get your life past this fear. And if we collectively begin to walk in such paths, then the yoke of this falls from the culture and we're freed from it. And we can, you know, this can be a great invitation to metamorphosis rather than a tragedy.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for, you know, really paraphrasing it like that.
Well, guys, make sure you pick up the book. You can buy it on Amazon, Watiko by Paul Levy. Thank you so much. And we look forward to having you again on the show.
A new Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at conspiracyunlimitedpodcast.com. Blow your mind. That is all for now. Oh, and remember to share and give a 5-star review, because we have huge egos and need love. We're like cats. We need constant petting.